Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
I want to take a moment and thank DesignCrowd for sponsoring today's episode. DesignCrowd is a website that helps startups and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphics, logos, and web design from over 500,000 designers around the world. Check out designcrowd.com/hack. That's designcrowd.com/hack to learn more and receive a special $100 VIP offer when you start your next project. Or just simply enter the discount code HACK when posting a new project on DesignCrowd. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad you decided to join me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's entrepreneur absolutely blew my mind in this conversation. He is 35 years old and lives in a small town called Nanaimo, British Columbia, where his tech firm is one of the city's largest employers with a staff of 170. He started his business in 2004 as a single father, taking care of his son and his little brother while also attending school during the day and working at night. In his spare time, he studied and mastered the art and science of search engine optimization and became known as the SEO guy. This took him to earning upwards of $500 per hour, but he saw a problem. He couldn't scale. He looked at his business and realized that some of his best SEO clients were in real estate, so he scaled. Big time. This was the birth of Real Estate Webmasters. Just 10 years later and $10 million of annual revenue, and he is nowhere near done. His goal now is to grow the company to $100 million in annual sales within 5 or 6 years, up from $20 million forecast for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2015. To top it all off, he recently appeared on The Dragon's Den. This is Canada's version of Shark Tank, pitching for what he calls the largest legitimate ask in reality TV history. $2 million for 4% of his company. This would be a $50 million valuation. And he got his money. They took 5%. Now, let's hack Morgan Carey. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Braintree. If you think back, you can remember the first dollar you made. Now you want to grow to make your billionth. But have you found the right payments partner to grow with you? Braintree lets you accept every way to pay, from PayPal to Apple Pay and everything in between. All it takes is one integration. And it doesn't matter what currency your customers use, because Braintree lets you accept over 130 of them. To learn more about how your company can grow with Braintree, visit braintreepayments.com/hack. We are back with Hack the Entrepreneur. And guess what? We have another amazing Canadian entrepreneur. Morgan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Okay, let's jump right into it, Morgan. As an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you feel you do that has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
What's the one thing that's the biggest contributor to my success? I think it's intuition. I think it's following my intuition. I used to think I was lucky, but you can only be lucky so many times before you realize there might be something more to it. So, you know, it's really following your intuition, following your gut for me.
Oh, so you are one of those following your gut guys. I'm all about that.
Yes, I definitely ready, fire, aim, jump before I look. I'm the wild man that way for sure.
So, but also intuition and following your gut, I guess that led you. I mean, I'm amazed by your story, which I just recently heard. You were like internet marketing, a single solopreneur guy doing it and making $500 an hour consulting on SEO. And now you own three buildings for your businesses. You have 170 employees. And like, that's like a scale. That's like scaling to the ultimate level from one guy. That's pretty amazing, right? That's
sure. But I think
is that intuition?
I think everybody starts out as one guy, right? I mean, that's kind of where you,
but most don't go to that level.
Right.
I find it impressive, like really impressive.
Right, right.
Was that intuition? Did your gut tell you that you would get to this level or that you're going to get to that $100 million level?
No, no, definitely not. Following the path that's put in front of you and making the choice is, you know, you can only follow your gut if you have those choices to follow, right? And so in the early years, I'm the original SEO guy. I was the founder of SEO Guy Forums. I own SEOGuy.com. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of something I loved when it was brand new. So, you know, we had the first to market advantage. You know, I was very good at it and very good at socializing it and whatnot. And so, you know, a lot of opportunities presented themselves because I was able to take advantage of that first opportunity. But the gut thing comes from deciding which way to go, right? I mean, when I knew I was burning out and working too much, and even though I was making tons of money, I had no work-life balance. You know, the gut choice is, you know, out of all the options I had, I mean, I could have taken a job somewhere. I could have been picked up by any number of companies. I could have, you know, picked any number of niches, because at that point I was involved in a lot of different niche marketing opportunities. I was working for eBay. I was working for the education space for Quinn Street Media. I was working for Adobe. I mean, I had all kinds of clients and all kinds of places where I saw opportunity. And really following my gut towards the real estate side, that's just one of those choices, right? I didn't do a million years of research. I just said, you know what? This makes sense to me.
Excellent. Okay, so there seems to be a time, you're 35, I believe now.
That's correct, yeah.
And there seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have a calling to go and make something big and make a dent, or they just realize they can't work for somebody else. Can you tell me which one of these two you feel you fit into and when you realize that?
I've never been able to work for somebody else. I never have.
Excellent.
I never really have. I am such a high D alpha personality. I have to be, you know, I have to be the top dog. It's in my DNA. So for me, there was never any doubt that I was going to be my own thing and control my own destiny. I, you know, it's not like I grew up in corporate America. I started doing this when I was a teenager, you know? And never looked back. So I've never really worked for anybody other than, you know, during school where you kind of, you know, do your thing to get by, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so definitely for me, I think I knew when I was 2 years old that I would never work for anybody.
Excellent. I love it. So you mentioned work-life balance and how you were just working way too hard. Now you have, that was when you were like a solopreneur. Now you have a massive business around you. I would assume there's still a lot of work involved. What does your work schedule look like at this point?
Well, stepping back a bit, you know, I think I've always struggled with work-life balance. I was married, you know, and had a full-time family. And, you know, I think like a lot of entrepreneurs, especially young entrepreneurs, I think I was guilty of saying, you know, oh, I can always do more with my family tomorrow. And I can tell you now that's a mistake. You know, that cost me that family life, but it also taught me that lesson that if you take for granted what you have in front of you, it's going to go away. No matter how, you know, how bright you think the future is and how you think you might be able to take that time off later when things slow down, if you're me or anyone like me, things are never going to slow down. And so you really need to make a conscious decision to plan. And so, I mean, although it was an unfortunate situation, it happened and I learned a lot from it. And so now I set strict rules. You know, I have two children, but one of them is grown and moved out and whatnot. He's 19, turning 20. And so I have my daughter and I have a split custody relationship, you know, 50-50 with his mom. And so I still go hard, but I do so when I don't have my daughter. So I might work 16, 18 hours a day on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday that I don't have my daughter. Right? You know, you'll see me up at 2 a.m, you'll see me up at 6 a.m. kind of thing. But then when I have my daughter, there's daughter time is daughter time. When she gets out of school, I pick her up. I take her to karate. I take her horseback. I take her swimming. That's her time and I don't work during that time. Because you can always fit in the stuff. I mean, you know, it's not like I don't work on those days because she goes to school and whatnot. So I drop her off at 8:30 a.m. You know, I work from 9 till 3 or whatever, go pick her up. But you really need to make that decision to honor those things that are important to you and make a true commitment to not waver from that.
Yeah, that's a hard lesson to have to learn.
It is.
Especially.
It's costly.
Yeah. And some people learn it with health or something. Like they all do it. Like I'm just going to go. And then all of a sudden their health just falters or else family or something. There really is. I mean, you.
That's it. Well, and it, for me, it was all of those things. I was in boxing and gymnastics and all these things. I was an athlete when I was a kid. And, you know, I was always training and bodybuilding. I was always ripped. I was always handsome. some period between 20 and 25, when I sit in front of the computer eating like I used to train, I realized that I was, you know, I'm 5'7", 225. What's going on here? This isn't all muscle anymore. So it's not just your family life that suffers. It's your health. It's your everything.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about a day that your daughter, you don't have her today. So you have a work day and you don't have work days every day now. So you probably want to catch up, want to get a lot done. Could you say, walk us through the first 30 minutes of your work day, or just from getting out of bed, what you do to set yourself up to kind of kick ass throughout the day?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I have three dogs that I love very much at home. And so what I do is I get up, I live out on a farm. It's nice and peaceful. It's tranquil and whatnot. I get up, I let my dogs out first thing, you know, make a cup of coffee, grab a piece of fruit, something like that, and lay in bed with my dogs for about an hour, getting through all my social stuff, checking my emails, checking my schedule. You said I had a fantastic assistant, and I do. And so she's got me all scheduled throughout the day. So, you know, familiarizing myself if I need to with the people I need to meet with that day. You know, really, there's just being an online guy, there's so much online that really, it's nice to have that quiet time with the dogs at home in bed, drinking that cup of coffee, to be able to sit there with two laptops, just checking everything off the list, right?
Yeah, nice. Okay, so let's move on to struggles and fears. As entrepreneurs, as humans, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes, and failing. Mm-hmm. Can you, Morgan, could you walk us through how at work or in business, you make a decision, you follow your gut, like you say, with the intuition, but you're totally wrong? How do you get through that and either change it or pivot from that movement?
You're going to hate my answer.
I'm going to love it.
That doesn't really happen to me.
Nice. Wow.
That's been my gift. And, you know, not necessarily with personal relationships, because of course I've regretted lots of things I've said in my life to people I cared about.
Right.
But in business, I've had a gift so far of being able to see, you know, what I think would be the best option, picking it and then making it successful. You know, we talk about fear and whatnot, and I've been called supremely confident. I might be so afraid that it's impossible for me to fail. I don't know. I have to succeed at the things that I do. And I always do.
Wow. Jeez. I mean, making the intuition, right? But nothing just drastically ever just goes wrong. A deal doesn't fall through. It doesn't slip between your fingers. You're like, oh. And then you move on, kind of thing. None of that happens.
No, not generally. No, not.
You're impressive, man.
Deals don't happen all the time, right? But there's usually a legit reason. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not just running through life being like, you know what? Kiss my ass because I know it's going to go right anyway. There's a lot of deals that, right, you know, you talk to someone, they get fired up, they say they're going to give you a bunch of money and they don't. That's not really the astronomical failure. That's just a part of day-to-day business, right? But there's never been anything that I've set my mind to that it was a goal or a number or anything like that that we've ever not achieved.
That's awesome. That means a lot to me, because I got to bring myself into this story, but I lost my biggest business deal to date ever this week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It was like 3 months in the process. I was going to get a whole bunch of money, partly acquire all this stuff. And then I was just like, yes, 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 no. And I was like, oh my God. So when you're just like, no, that's just day-to-day business. That's not being wrong. That feels good. I appreciate that.
Well, understand that I don't get like that whole yes, yes, yes thing. You know, I really don't believe in counting my chickens before they're hatched. And so for me, a deal is just a bunch of people talking shit until the deal happens.
Nice.
Right. So really, that's not, you know, again, we talk about deals all the time. I'm going to talk today right after we finish this interview. I'm going to be going down and meeting Terry from the episode of Dragon's Den that I was on, the paintbrush guy, and I'm going to try to do a deal with him. But you know what? There are all kinds of scenarios that could happen there, and it's not going to be a failure because I've set it up so that if he decides he doesn't want to do some business, great. We now have the opportunity to socialize the fact that two of the most interesting Dragon's Den people from the season ended up, you know, covertly meeting together in one of the restaurants owned by one of them. You know, there's
nice.
There's all kinds of, no matter what, it's going to be a win, right? And so I'm not counting on this guy accepting my proposal or anything like that.
Yeah.
If nothing else, I get to meet a cool guy and tell him I like this story, right?
So the moral of the story is you got to just work on more deals, I think. If you're always working on more, right?
And yeah. Well, you can't get all your hopes up and you can't rely on one thing.
Exactly. Exactly. That's totally true. Okay, so let's move this to, say, projects or deals, let's say, right? So you're meeting with this guy. How do you, somebody who has this very large business going, how would you, I'm sure you get offers, I'm sure you get sort of things coming across your desk through your inbox, people trying to pitch you ideas or deals.
Yeah.
How do you decide, Morgan, at this point, that this is something that I should take on or I should do?
I don't ever take solicitations. So yes, you're right. We actually get them, especially since the TV show, we get offers pretty much hourly, you know, via the company Facebook, or they find my own email or whatever. So I don't take solicitations at all. What I do is I watch for opportunities. Just like this Dragon's Den thing, this had nothing to do with him and had to do with me. I saw it as a great marketing opportunity no matter what. I figured I'd reach out to the guy, but I love the product as well, and I knew I can tell the story. So my hope is he does do a deal with us so that I can actually take that product and make it successful where he's failed. But with respect to solicitations, we just don't accept them. My assistant and our PR people and our support people, they're gatekeepers. They're not going to let somebody come through, right? It just doesn't happen.
Okay, but say then within your company.
Sure.
Like, say somebody decides we should go also in this area. We should go this direction. Is that strictly just gut feeling? Or what is something that you think that, does this fit? Does this not fit? Like, what's the thought process that would go through your head at night and be like, yeah, he's totally right. We should go in that direction.
That's not how my company works. There is only one decision maker in my company, and that's me. It's something we're looking to develop because obviously we're growing quite large, but our machine from a real estate webmaster's perspective is so well oiled that, you know, we have team leaders for our various departments, but they're all sold out weeks and weeks in advance. They have no time to come up with new ideas to try to drive revenue because they're too busy satisfying clients. So, you know, there's one team, there's one idea think tank, there's one whatever. It's our R&D team. There's about 7 people in there, and then including me, and I'm the team lead of the R&D department. So all new products are built in my department.
Excellent. I love it. Are you like a serial idea starting person sort of for your business, or do you feel that maybe we've reached a point where we have enough?
Yeah, my blessing and my curse is that, you know, I don't give a shit about the details. Nice. So I get my fair share of ideas. So I've got a fantastic team behind me who knows how I work. And so they sort of can take what I say, even though oftentimes it's crazy mumbled, you know, drawings on a board or whatever, and they can help me materialize my thoughts, and then they can take it and actually, you know, bring it to action. So I don't mean to make it sound like I'm a micromanager, because I'm certainly not. I have to be the catalyst. And then I'm happy to hand, like, we have a new back end that's going on right now. And although I review the progress every week, the stuff that happens during that week and the stuff that gets proposed the following week, that's my awesome R&D team, you know, coming and saying, hey, we took what you said and here's what we've come up with. And what do you think? And then I give them feedback. So it's definitely an iterative process and they are involved in that. But yeah, I don't know. There's just not, it's not that it's just not encouraged, because I love great ideas. It's just, I don't think anybody feels like they have time, right? Because we're that busy.
Yeah. So you allow yourself to keep the time around you to come up with the, at least just like start the idea. It's like your own like imagination machine. I can come up with an idea and then you guys run with it.
Kind of. Yeah. I don't remember what the book awesome. Title is, but yeah, I think it's The E-Myth. I don't know if you've read it, but
yes, I have.
They talk about working on your business, not in it. And I'm a true believer in that. So I don't try to get involved. The accounting people are the accounting people. They do their thing. And if they don't need my help, I'm not going to be there. I manage the delta from that perspective. Same thing with production. Production's humming along. I do not need a long, lengthy report from production telling me that everything is fine. I need to have the people in place to trust that it actually is fine so I can have the time to do my thing, right? I love inventing stuff and I like being social and being, you know, I like being on stage and speaking and teaching and inventing. Those are the things I like, you know?
Could you see yourself going more in that direction maybe?
Yes.
Like the speaking and...
Oh yeah, no, that's kind of my new job, right? I mean, that's what I do. I travel twice a month now at least. You know, mostly to the East Coast of the U.S., which is kind of rough. But, yeah. You know, we have 2 of our own conferences every year. I speak at all kinds of other conferences. I'm actually the featured speaker at Inman this year, which is the largest real estate event in North America for the online stuff. And that's in January. So, yeah, I love doing that stuff. Running the parties afterwards is great.
Excellent. I love it. So you've had a lot of successes so far up to this point. You're still quite young.
Yeah.
If your career, for some crazy reason, was to end today, do you think you'd be happy with the legacy that you've left up till this point?
Yeah, I would, because my children are fantastic and that's really my legacy.
Oh, that's a beautiful answer. Okay, Morgan, we are sitting here 1 year from today then.
Yep.
We're celebrating the crazy, amazing year you just had in the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. What did you guys do to make that year happen, and what happened?
Well, I mean, this year is, you know, we just finished off last year and we did 10 million in sales, which is a million more than the actual cash receipts goal, which is awesome. This year, we've doubled that goal. So we're going to a $20 million aggregate gross sales. So during the year, in order to do that, we need to have some really great partnerships come into play. And I imagine we'll probably be celebrating at least one exciting M&A, merger and acquisition. I see our revenue growth, you know, growing organically in the products and services that we have right now. But there are so many other companies out there that are perfect fits customer base wise for me to acquire and, you know, monetize. And for the right company, hell, we might be $30, $40 million by the end of next year, not just 20, right? So I'm looking forward to at least one or two key partnerships and at least one acquisition.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love the goals, man. And they're good. I'm sure you're going to hit every single one of them. I just want to thank you so much for your time, Morgan. This has been an awesome conversation, a lot of fun. So if we've talked about your business a lot, could you just leave everybody and tell them just where to find out more about you guys?
Sure. So we are at realestatewebmasters.com. It's plural. You can also find us online on Facebook. So just go to Facebook and search for Real Estate Webmasters. You can also search for me. You search my name, Morgan Carey. The user will be Morgan David Carey. We're on Twitter at WebmastersRE. And we've got profiles everywhere else. Just Google Real Estate Webmasters and you'll find us.
Excellent. And I will put links in the show notes for everyone so they can track you down easily. So Morgan, thank you so much and good luck out there in BC, man.
All right. Thanks, John.
Morgan, thank you so much for your time and just for being so brilliant and the confidence. I absolutely love it. Now I need to digress a tiny bit. My absolute favorite part of hosting this show has been you, the listener, and the emails that you're sending to me. I'm receiving them daily, and it's amazing. There's something that's really kind of runs through them, though, is that there's this struggle of where to start and where to get going. So I need to go step back a bit. Let's go back a few months to where I started Hack the Entrepreneur. I haven't told you the story, and I feel I should at this point. Let's go back. Mid-July, this past summer. My family and I rented a cottage on a small lake in the middle of nowhere. 4 days to just do nothing. I'm going through my Kindle and I stumble upon Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. If you haven't read this book, just Google search it. I'll put it in the show notes for you, but find it. You have to read this. I'd read it 2 times already. This time was different. 3 days later, I'd completely read the book front to back and I was ready to take serious action. I had no idea for a name, no real plan except to interview brilliant entrepreneurs in a unique way, build my platform this time, and crush it. 5 weeks, 4 days later, with 22 interviews recorded and all branding complete, I launched Hack the Entrepreneur. This is the exact way that Gary V lays it out in his book, and this is the exact way that he started building his insane career and platform back in 2006 with his very own YouTube channel, Wine Library TV. So, less than 3 months after launch, Hack the Entrepreneur has been number one on iTunes several times, and I've been approached with numerous sponsorship requests. This stuff works, but it gets better. I told this story to Gary V personally via email a few weeks ago as I was trying to book him onto the show. He said yes, he's coming on, and it's going to be good. Last week, I got an email from Gary that he wants to now offer you, the HTE community, a cool offer from his website, winelibrary.com, just for the holidays. You like wine, right? It's kind of an entrepreneur thing, I'm pretty sure. But anyways, Wine Library is his brilliant online wine website. So for you, as part of the HTE community, you can now stock up on holiday wine and get absolutely free shipping. Just use the promo code HACKTHEWINE. Yes, promo code HACKTHEWINE, no spaces, all one word, gets you free shipping, care of Gary Vaynerchuk, and Hack the Entrepreneur. Winelibrary.com. Make sure to take advantage of this offer. You deserve it. Now, did you get it? Did you find it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Really, that's not, you know, again, we talk about deals all the time. I'm going to talk today, right after we finish this interview, I'm going to be going down and meeting Terry from the episode of Dragon's Den that I was on, the paintbrush guy, and I'm going to try to do a deal with him. But you know what? there are all kinds of scenarios that could happen there. And it's not going to be a failure because I've set it up so that if he decides he doesn't want to do some business, great. We now have the opportunity to socialize the fact that two of the dragons, the most interesting Dragon's Den people from the season, ended up, you know, covertly meeting together in one of the restaurants owned by one of them. You know, there's just all kinds of, no matter what, it's going to be a win, right? And so I'm not counting on this guy accepting my proposal or anything like that. If nothing else, I get to meet a cool guy and tell him I like this story, right?
And that's the hack.
I absolutely love it, Morgan. And I love the idea because I think it's key to being an entrepreneur. You need to be able to go out there, talk to people about your ideas, make offers to them, or just tell them what it is you're trying to work on and see if you can work together. Oftentimes you can't, but that doesn't matter. And that's not the point. That's not a waste of time. As he says, Dan Martell, when he was on the show, he said once a week still, he's been doing it for years now since he moved to San Francisco. And even now when he's back in smaller town, Canada, once a week he gets a group of people together, just different people every week. Everybody pays for their own lunch, but they just get around. They're all entrepreneurs. They're all business people. They're all talking. This is things that we can all do and we should all do. We need to nourish these relationships and just getting out there and being willing to talk about our ideas and put them out there. This is key to growth. This is key to growth in business. This is key to growth as an entrepreneur. And I truly believe that. And obviously, I mean, I found it kind of redemptive as he was saying that it's just part of business when deals just don't go through because I feel like I took a hard hit, but he actually made me realize that no, I didn't. It's just a part of business. And like I said, you have to just get out there and make more deals. How do you make more deals? You meet more entrepreneurs. You meet more people in business. I love that people are now emailing me, listeners, or you have ideas and you're willing to just throw ideas at me, try and get feedback, try and see what you should do. That's awesome. That's what you should do. Don't covet these ideas. Don't protect these ideas. Get out there and just make them happen. People aren't looking to steal your ideas. Trust me. We all have a ton of them. The ideas, not the problem. It's the resources to be able to act and to implement on these things that is always the bottleneck in this entrepreneurship equation. So get out there. You never know who can help, never know who you could partner with. You just never know. And it just helps, especially when you're isolated and you don't have other business people around you. You're not in like an incubator or you're not working in a startup, which most of us aren't. I'm in small town Canada. The thing I did originally was besides getting to go to conferences for my business, I also decided I want to talk to brilliant people. So I started a podcast, but you can easily just go out, have a lunch, start, just find people in. Make a lunch once a week and just have people come and you just talk. It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant idea. And I love that Morgan's like, there's no failure from it. There's no failure from it. Don't worry. Worst case scenario is have a good lunch. We get to talk to another smart person. Brilliant. I love it. Thank you so much, Morgan. You're a smart, smart dude. Again, this is so much fun. You have no idea what this means to me. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Make sure to get on that mailing list. I have an email coming out this weekend, every Sunday. It's my best hack, the best stuff I'm coming up with over the week, what's going on in my head, how I'm thinking about business. I'll send it out to you. It's basically my best blog post I write once a week and you get it. And you get to hit reply. Come straight to my phone or my laptop when I'm working and just hit me with questions. Say hi. Tell me you're out there. It's amazing. I truly, truly, truly appreciate you being out there. Well, again, this was a lot of fun. We got some cool, cool stuff coming up in some very soon episodes that I hope you enjoy. So until then, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.